Good morning. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Kaveh Movahed. New Mexico has an aging population, and it is now home to more people over the age of 65 than the national average. By 2040, nearly a quarter of New Mexicans will be over the age of 65, up from about 18% in 2020. For some, older age represents a time of slowing down and savoring life through hobbies and leisure. But for others, it's a time of anxiety caused by increased costs of living and higher demands for medical care with a fixed income or none at all. Many people find contentment through a balance of part-time work and leisure or volunteering. Today, as our community ages, what resources, services, and opportunities are in place for seniors? We'll hear from state and county officials tasked with elder care and well-being. We'll talk to AARP about what seniors want and need. We'll look at opportunities to foster wisdom and reflection for folks transitioning life stages. And we'd like to hear from you, too. What ideas do you have for folks to stay active and feel valued in their communities? How do you think life has changed as you've aged? Share your ideas by emailing letstalk@kunm.org or call us at 505-277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Let's get started with our conversation today. Our first guest this morning is Carrie Cardinale, the Chief Content Officer for the Modern Elder Academy, a school for adults in midlife or later with campuses in Lamy, New Mexico and Baja, California in Mexico. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Kaveh. Great to have the opportunity to be here today.
You call the Modern Elder Academy a wisdom school. What does that mean?
Yeah, let's start there. You know, it's such an interesting name that we've decided to own. It's founded by Chip Conley. Chip Conley is a multi-best-selling author and entrepreneur that he started his career creating boutique hotels and then kind of retired in his 50s and was asked to be a mentor to the two young gentlemen who were starting a strange company called Airbnb. And they needed someone to help them with hospitality in someone's home. Which was a strange concept to a hotelier. And yet he enjoyed working with the founders and mentored them for 6 or 7 years. And they called him the modern elder. Now, naturally, you may agree with Chip that he did not like that that attribute initially. And he may have had a couple of expletives when he heard it and thought it was sort of a insult. But they said to him, no, actually, we think a modern elder is someone who is as curious as they are wise. And that got Chip thinking, and he wrote a book called Wisdom at Work, which looked at how many generations are now moving into the workforce and how we're rethinking our age and how we're rethinking what we can do at different ages, and then decided to start the Modern Elder Academy as a wisdom school for anyone sort of in the second, third, fourth chapters of their life to have a beautiful space to come and meet others and have some reflections on their what's next.
Okay, well, what kinds of things are part of your curriculum?
You know, we like to focus on some of the inner work of aging. So we have gathered social scientists from all over the world who've helped us to understand that we have gained an extra 30 years of life in the last 100 years. And so we're living a lot longer, and those years that we're living longer are in the midlife area. Midlife is now defined as age 35 to 75. Wow, that is a marathon. And there's a lot of transitions during that time, whether it's work transitions, kids, empty nesting, managing parents, moving, and a sense of what brings meaning. So we have three pillars at MEA we focus on: navigating transitions. How do we do that better? Cultivating a sense of purpose. How does our sense of purpose evolve as we age? And how do we own our own wisdom that we've gained along the way and share it with others?
Well, something else that changes as we age is our physical attributes. Is physical well-being as important as mental health? How do you integrate those ideas?
It certainly does. You know, we're in such a wonderful era now that the whole longevity industry, think of how much healthier we are, that we have the capacity with getting hip replacements, or we know now about watching our glucose intake or changing our diet if we have a heart disease. So we have so many new resources to help us to live longer and healthier and more active lives. So we combine that awareness of longevity to be not just the things we do physically, but also, how do we think about aging? that studies have shown that the way we think about aging can add an extra 7.5 years to our life, which is greater than stopping smoking or starting exercise at 50.
What do you mean by that? That the way we think about aging can add?
Yeah, life. Let's break that down. Like, maybe some of your listeners know somebody who kind of is the grumpy old grandpa or the crotchety old lady who just, I'm too old to do this, and just kind of gets sort of set in their ways and this idea that thing is all about decline. And then they make those decisions to maybe watch TV all day or not really engage in any hobbies. Versus someone who is out there still riding their horse at 80 and doing projects and working on the roof and doing stuff. There's a big difference in the way they think about their age. Makes a big difference on the little decisions you make and how you live your life.
Okay, so how you feel might affect your nutrition, and you know, then that has effects on how long you live. Okay, sure. Who is the Modern Elder Academy for?
We are so proud that we've been open now for about 5 years. We started with a campus in Baja, Mexico. We opened our new campus in Lamy. We're so thrilled to be on a 2,600-acre horse ranch. And we have a very robust online program. So we now have 6,000 alumni from 50 countries. And the Modern Elder Academy has free programs online to very affordable online programs. And our destination week-long programs have financial aid packages available. So we've been able to attract a huge group of folks, from those who've been quite successful professionally to those who've been stay-at-home parents, veterans, caregivers, and lots of different ages that have a chance to come together and realize that the stories we're thinking about are so universal. And there are certain strategies that we can learn by being in a small group. It's kind of like a summer camp and a school all at once.
I'm curious why you chose Lamy. For those who don't know, it's, I don't know, maybe 20 miles southeast of Santa Fe, kind of out in the middle of the desert.
It's so beautiful there. We are in the Galisteo Basin. It is so spectacular. It was known as the Saddleback Ranch. We've renamed it to Rising Circle Ranch. It is just otherworldly. We just love being surrounded by the mountains. Those who come from far away are astonished, as all of you know, at the big sky, at the open spaces, the ability to think spacious thoughts. We've created an equine-assisted therapeutic learning program. We built hiking trails, and we're actually regenerating the ranch. It was a cattle ranch, and we are now regenerating the land with horses, moving them around the property. And so we're very proud of all the work that we've done to make it as regenerative as possible.
And the programs are a bit expensive, but you mentioned there are some free online programs and other more accessible options for folks.
Exactly. Yeah, we've created something for everyone. So yes, they can be a higher price. It's sort of a 5-star all-inclusive experience to come for the week with beautiful food, beautiful locations, and fantastic programming. But we have very, very substantial financial aid. We've invested $1.5 million in our financial aid program so that we can remain committed to bringing in as many as possible. We have a locals rate. And our online programs are very popular. It allows you to come for a 6-week program, an 8-week program, and meet people from all over the world and have these rich reflections and conversations. And then we have an alumni program. So all those who go through our courses have a chance to join our alumni program, which is very rich. We have 50 chapters. We have a very rich New Mexico chapter. And those folks get together. They go for hikes. They go for lunch. They have discussion groups, affinity groups. It's one of the most powerful parts of what we do, and one of the areas we're the most proud, that social isolation and loneliness really spikes as we get older. And many are trying to figure out how to make new friends. And so that's something we've been very dedicated to. All of those are free. Once the alumni free hikes go to get together, they make a lot of new friends. And when they travel to new areas, they often look up an alumni and meet up for coffee. So it's been really amazing to see the stories that have been coming through.
All right. Now, Carrie, I've heard you talk about something called the U-curve of happiness, kind of describing how people are happiest when they're younger and then again when they're older. but maybe not so much in the middle. So should we think of the Modern Elder Academy as a place to learn to head off or confront a midlife crisis?
Isn't that the word, right? When you say midlife, everyone always adds that little word next to it, crisis. And, you know, when you ask people, are you having a midlife crisis? People say, well, what does that even mean? And so, yes, we confront midlife crisis head on. We like to think of it as a midlife chrysalis, that it's this time of reflection. It's this time of great change. Maybe the kids are going to school, or maybe we're slowing down at work, or maybe a spouse has passed away and we're really exploring who we are now. We find most people don't really think of it as a crisis. And yes, there was a study done called the U-curve of happiness, which applies to some people, not all people, but this idea that we're very happy in our 20s. And then we kind of slide down this curve and it bottoms out kind of our late 40s, 48 to 50. And then we start to get happier. So hence that midlife crisis. Well, maybe that's because we're working, we've got the kids, and there's a lot of pressures that are happening at that particular age. And as we get older, many adults will say, you know, actually, I am happier. I'm happier in my 70s than I was in my 50s. And yet we don't acknowledge that in our society, that our brain continues to develop and grow. We tend to get happier. There's a sense of contentment that increases as we age that really has nothing to do with our economic status or the jobs that we had. Just fundamentally, aging doesn't have to always be something that is to be afraid of or to be associated with decline.
Okay, well, tell us about the Modern Elder Academy's Third Act program.
The Third Act is an affinity group, and we love that. So, you know, we love that New Mexico is becoming sort of the wisdom capital. We love that. And one of our affinity groups is called the Third Act, and it's folks who've come together and said, you know, we get the midlife part, but we're kind of at that next stage. We're exploring what it's like to be in our 60s, our 70s, our early 80s. The things that we're thinking about are a little different than the things we were thinking about when we were 50. Really valid. So we love that they've had a chance to, they've been meeting now for, 3 years on their own, and have had such rich relationships. And folks come in who are third act curious, kind of hitting that late 50, early 60s, and they want to hang out. And so we've found that intergenerational conversations are so powerful. So if you are in your 50s and you're hanging out with folks who are in their 70s, 75, it's so rich because you now have a role model that you can see that's real. And when you are in your 70s, to hang out with folks who are in their 50s is also really enriching and fun. And it's good for us to create those very rich and diverse types of friendships as we get older.
Okay, Carrie. Well, while New Mexico is certainly beautiful, we have some shortcomings when it comes to living comfortably in older age, like lacking healthcare access and infrastructure. How important to people is where they live when they talk about aging?
It's so important. And, you know, we're so aware of all of those challenges, and those are very real. And those are not challenges that any one organization can solve. And what we have found that we can do is we can encourage this idea. We call it creating islands of sanity, which was attributed to Margaret Wheatley, of how can you focus on improving the network that you have in your community. So you find folks who you can call if you're sick, it could take you to the doctor, or who could share a pot of soup with you when you caught a cold, or who come over and sit with you when you receive bad news, or who might want to train for a 5K with you and be brave. So building those networks is so valuable because it doesn't cost anything. And it creates a circle of support that we kind of have forgotten about as people kind of move into their own houses and in their own neighborhoods, and we don't even know who lives next door, that can add a sense of anxiety in our lives because we do feel very alone if something happens that we need help.
Okay, we do have to take a quick break. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Kaveh Movahed. Have things like meditation or yoga helped you adapt as you've aged? Share your experiences by calling 505-277-5866 or email us at letstalk@kunm.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from the Western Environmental Law Center, committed to protecting New Mexico's public lands, including Greater Chaco, the climate, and partnering with frontline communities in the Land of Enchantment. Info at westernlaw.org.
Support comes from the Winter Spanish Market, featuring art from over 60 artists and live entertainment. December 7th and 8th at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. No tickets necessary. For more details, visit traditionalspanishmarket.org.
Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Ken Pelletier, author of Change Your Genes, Change Your Life. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about creating optimal health with the new science of epigenetics.
Saturday mornings at 6 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Kaveh Movahed. Today, we're talking about life in your golden years. You can email comments to letstalk at KUNM.org or give us a ring at 505-277-KUNM. We have Carrie Cardinale, the Chief Content Officer from the Modern Elder Academy, on with us now. Carrie, one of the biggest challenges for older folks is isolation. Can online programs help people the same way in-person classes do?
Oh, gosh, I'm so glad you asked me that question, Kaveh. Yes, unequivocally, yes. I have been working in online education for many years, and lots of us have had those really awful, boring webinars that are just terrible. That's kind of like going to school with that teacher who's writing on the chalkboard, and you can't even hear what he's saying, and you're sitting in class doodling. Or you can have really interactive discussions online using a platform like Zoom, where you can see each other and have breakouts and bring in music and have comments. So we create a very robust, interactive, experiential-based online program that's been incredibly rich. We have one story after another of folks who've had a chance to tell stories, meet each other, have these small discussions over the course of many weeks. And by the end, they have new friends. And they continue to stay connected with each other, whether it's through WhatsApp and chat and telephone calls, or maybe they do meet each other in person. And studies have shown kind of our third tier connections, as they call it, people that you kind of meet that are not your family or not the friends you've grown up with, is a very valuable resource to build because they don't know you. And you can tell anything. You can talk about your life in a very straightforward way and bond with others who have a similar experience. So we are so proud. Over half of our alumni have taken our online programs, and many of them might not ever come to Santa Fe because they live on the other side of the world, or it's just not feasible for them to take the time or have the revenue to do so. So we love our online programs. We have five of them that we're running, and we have some that are on demand that you can just take on your own time. But I'm a big fan of the interactive live hybrid style. I think it's a huge way to address social isolation as we age.
Okay, listeners, have you taken an online class? Give us a call and tell us about it. 505-277-5866. I'd like to go ahead and bring in another guest, but don't go anywhere, Carrie. We're going to come back to you. Joseph Roybal Sanchez is the state director for AARP of New Mexico, and he's back after joining us earlier this year when we talked about senior voters prior to the election. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Kaveh. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you. Please remind us what AARP's primary functions are.
Yeah, excellent question, right? I think oftentimes people associate AARP to some insurance plan, right? Well, AARP does not necessarily sell an insurance. We endorse insurance products that are well vetted in the industry. So older adults have opportunity to have options, right? Let me begin by just sharing that AARP, those that don't know about us, we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that empowers people to choose how they live as they age. AARP has a membership of 38 million members across the country. In New Mexico, we have shy of 250,000 AARP members. Our primary work, Kaveh, it's really focused on three areas, one being health security, where our goal in our enterprise strategic plan is to ensure that The majority of the 50 plus, and we focus on 50 and above, unlike 65 and above, right? Health security being one of our social impact areas, where we want to see the majority of the 50 plus have access to affordable, high quality care that enables longer, healthier lives. Our second social impact area is financial resilience. In this area, we would like to see a significant majority of the 50 plus have ample opportunities to generate, save, and preserve the financial resources needed to enjoy their longer lifespans. And then our third one is social connections. You were talking to Carrie a bit about that isolation piece, right? We also aim for a significant majority of the 50 plus to have the opportunity to connect with others in order to thrive throughout their longer, healthier lifespans. So those are those three primary areas that we kind of hone in on. AARP primarily does a ton of advocacy work at the local, state, and certainly at the federal level. I will tell you that, you know, on the heels of the outcomes of this 2024 general election, both local, state, and federal, right? We are positioning ourselves to ensure that we continue to protect Social Security and strengthen Medicare, two primary things that older adults want, not just in New Mexico, but across the country. As we step into this 2025 legislative session, we're what, a month and a half out, I think, from the start of this legislative session, we're going to be focusing on a very important topic and a piece of legislation that AARP is supporting, and that is paid family and medical leave for our New Mexico workers so they can support their loved ones, whether that being an older adult in their family, a loved one, or even a neighbor in some cases.
Okay, I hope we get more into some of that policy goals a little bit later. Sure. First, though, I kind of just want to get back to the baseline. How does New Mexico rank as a place to retire or to grow old in place?
I will tell you that in New Mexico, I can't speak for all of what the policies are, but what I can tell you is that as an AARP organization, we work tirelessly to ensure that there are reasonable and sensible policies that impact positively the 50 plus and their families. One of the things that AARP really focuses on is looking at all older adults and allowing them to live with dignity and purpose and fulfill their goals and dreams, right? So we will be at any table advocating against things that we feel might interrupt or impede in how older adults live. Now, many of us that retire on fixed incomes, right? The majority of us do, whether it's Social Security, whether it's a 401k, a pension, et cetera. Regardless of where you are in those brackets, when the cost of living goes up, a hike in utility rates go up, we're at those tables advocating to ensure that we see the least amount of increase because we know that that adversely impacts older adults.
Okay, so you're regularly in contact with older folks in our state. When you're talking with them, is that kind of the first thing people often talk about? Is that the primary concern?
Yeah, I will tell you that some of the ones that surface to the top is this notion of access to specialty primary care doctors. We hear that from a lot of our older adults in the state. We also know that they feel that their pocketbooks have been hit adversely in the past years, and they want to see that stop, right? But they also feel that they want to ensure that the Social Security that they receive and that they have earned is protected, and that they're going to be able to enjoy that through the rest of their days. And they also want it for their kids and their kids' kids, right? And ensuring, like I said, that the Medicare is a piece that is going to be there to help them with their medical care.
Where does loneliness or isolation fit into what you hear from people?
Well, I mean, as we all know, we experienced COVID together, right? We were all isolated for a few years. Certainly older adults were most impacted by the isolation, because if we think of the opportunities that we have with technology, when we think of New Mexico and us being a rural state, we learned that we weren't well connected in our state, right? Connected meaning broadband connection. So we knew that we had to do a lot of work around connectivity. Along with connectivity, you could have it, but it might not be reliable. So reliability was another issue. And along with having the connection and having a reliable connection, you have to be able to afford it, right? So affordability was the third component in that. What we did learn is that we were seeing older adults going through these levels of isolation where loved ones cannot even visit with them, whether it was at their home, at a nursing home, et cetera. So we had to pivot really fast. Older adults that had never been exposed to technology had to quickly be exposed to the technology so they could be able to, at the very least, say a hello through, you know, an iPad screen with a loved one. So what we know is that there is a ton of work that is yet to be done, not just in New Mexico, but I would say that that holds true for across the country. There's been lots of federal dollars that have come into the state. The state has also matched a significant amount of dollars around broadband expansion. So what we're hoping to see, because this is not a light switch effect, right? It's not easy just to say everyone's connected with high-speed internet. It's going to take at least a decade to get us to where we need to be. But we also know that that's an important component for older adults to keep them engaged. And we talked a little bit about how do we stay active too, right? There's opportunities to stay active with courses that AARP offers, whether it's yoga and balance classes that you can, you know, connect with live and be able to be in your own home and still participate and stay active.
And those are online accessible courses.
That is correct.
Okay. Listeners, how have you worked to combat isolation? Give us a call, 505-277-5866, or email letstalk@kunm.org. We did get an email from listener Cindy, who says, I belong to a national organization called Third Act, which was started by author and lifelong activist Bill McKibben. We have geographic working groups and one specifically in New Mexico. We've learned that there are many elders living alone in isolation. Therefore, a key driver for us as fellow Third Actors is to provide them with community, a sense of value, and actions they can take to feel like they are able to continue to contribute to the protection of our only planet and our democracy. Thanks for writing in, Cindy. Carrie, the Modern Elder Academy has affinity groups outside your courses. Are issues like the environment or something potentially divisive like politics a good way to get people together?
Well, first of all, thanks for sending that in about the Third Act group in New Mexico. I love hearing that. It's just so rewarding to hear. And certainly our local chapters, every year we do something called September of Service. So it's a great opportunity for whatever that particular demographic, geographic area would like to focus on. They bring together alumni, and whether it's plant a garden, clean up an area, engage in a climate change project, work with kids, literacy, whatever it is that is of interest, they're able to come together, meet each other in service to some sort of volunteerism. We love that project. We found that people really are happy to stay away from politics in some of our conversations. That it's been such a polarizing time that we found that people are really relieved to have really good quality conversations and connections about more universal things that we all share in common, and to remember how much we do have that we share than things that we may disagree about.
Modern Elder Academy founder Chip Conley told my colleague Megan Kamrick that there are five generations of people in the workplace for the first time in history. There's lots of tension there between younger and older folks who each want to do things their ways. How can we combat ageism that is present in both directions to harness all that collective wisdom that could really otherwise be lost?
Right. It's such a great question. Ageism is real. It's a form of discrimination we have against ourselves. We're discriminating against something that everybody does, which is age. When you think about it, it's kind of ridiculous. And if someone, had a skiing accident in their 20s and had to use a cane to walk while they're recovering, you would think nothing of it. But if someone had a knee replacement as a cane in their 70s, you think they're frail, or they think they're frail. So it's very interesting. So combating ageism really is about direct exposure. And so back to what I had shared earlier, having connections and friends with people who are 15 to 20 years older and younger than you helps break down that perception that everybody who's 75 is fill in the blank, or everyone who's 20 is fill in the blank. And that's why having five generations in the workforce is so valuable. It's really extraordinary. Once you have those folks working together, you see that older adults can learn technology and younger adults can be quite creative and strategic. Crazy. And that things move forward in a much more cohesive way when we kind of let go of age. Chip calls it being age fluid. You see those 20-somethings that are old souls, and you see those older adults who are kids at heart. And if we can think about that, I think what we'll do much better as we move forward in society, because we are aging, to your point. If 25% of the population will be over 65, how can we celebrate all that those 65 and plus can contribute to the community as such a wonderful and unmet resource?
Now, Joseph, we just received an email from listener Lisa, who wants to know what AARP can do to help fight age discrimination in the workplace. She says she knows many people who get laid off when they approach retirement age and are then unable to find a new job, and that impacts their financial resiliency.
Yes, that's an excellent question by Lisa. You know, again, AARP, as I mentioned, we are at those tables ensuring that older adults, we have made the argument, and I don't think that this is really something to be argued about, right? And I think Carrie and possibly Debbie would even agree with me on this, is that older adults bring a ton of experience, right? And with experience, you bring wisdom. So for organizations that are looking to employ individuals or those that have gone through a career and are now looking at a second career, we are always advocating to ensure that older adults are seen as a resource and as an asset to companies looking to hire.
Well, all right. I'd like to add one more voice to the conversation today. We have Debbie Gonzalez, the Consumer and Elder Rights Director from New Mexico's Aging and Long-Term Services Department, on with us. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Kaveh. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Debbie, facets of care for older folks falls into the purview of several state agencies. What does Aging and Long-Term Services do?
Certainly. Well, we have a variety of resources and supports for our neighbors across the state. And Joseph and Carrie hit on some key themes that we fully embrace: the concepts and the behaviors of respect, purpose, and social engagement. We fully support those components, and we fully support healthy aging in place that is very respectful for the individual. So one of the components, one of our areas, is the Ombudsman Program. So for those individuals who happen to be residents of long-term care facilities, nursing homes, assisted living sites, our Ombuds Program is dedicated to ensuring the respect and dignity of that experience. Our brochure that you might see out in the community, we hope to have it in many more places, in fact, really takes us back to what is the purpose of the ombudsman role. And you'll see that the word comes from a Swedish word for citizen's representative. And it's a terrific term because it does embody the fact that these are individuals, our ombuds people, to help protect the rights and encourage others to uphold and respect those rights. So we do that in a number of ways. We offer visits, we offer open ears so that we can better understand what the environment is. We listen for feedback. We educate the staff, family members, caregivers, and we really focus in on developing and supporting the best possible experience for individuals. When there are concerns, once again, listening is critical. We try to understand and respect the individual's perspective, and then we work to develop collaborative solutions. So this is a component that we're really passionate about. I'm very proud of our team. I get to see their compassionate work in action every day. And one of the things I definitely want to invite everybody to think about is joining our teams as far as volunteering across the state. This is a necessary component, and this can absolutely support our shared goal of increasing social engagement by actually having more people actively involved.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. We're going to have to pause for just a moment. How can seniors continue to earn money if they weren't able to save a nest egg earlier in life? Call 505-277-5866. You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. We'll be back in 1 minute.
If you're getting a new car this holiday season, consider giving the old one to KUNM as a gift. Tis the season. You'll get a KUNM membership just in time for those holiday celebrations. Donated cars and trucks are a big reason we've been able to bring you all the news and music programming you enjoy. Your vehicle donation makes a real difference in our community. So donate your vehicle today at KUNM.org or call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
The Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm is committed to supporting KUNM, providing legal services for individuals in Albuquerque and Santa Fe for over 46 years. More information at rothsteinlaw.com.
In the last decade of his life, Johann Sebastian Bach worked on a vast exploration of the fugue. And he never finished the final section of the piece. The Danish Quartet plays the extraordinary and unfinished Art of Fugue by J.S. Bach on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Kaveh Movahed. Do you feel like your golden years are at risk because of the economy or dearth of healthcare in New Mexico? Tell us why or why not by calling 505-277-5866. On the panel with us this morning is Carrie Cardinale, the Chief Content Officer from the Modern Elder Academy, Joseph Roybal Sanchez, the State Director for AARP New Mexico, and Debbie Gonzalez, Director of Consumer and Elder Rights Division at the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department. Debbie, we live in a largely rural state. How are older folks faring in smaller communities versus our cities when it comes to resources?
Sure. There are a variety of differences, of course, and our agency really does our best to try to bridge those gaps, so to speak. Our teams cover every square mile of the state. So we travel a lot. We take education and resources to where the people are. So that's one way that we stay connected. We also have a variety of touch points. Our website, aging.nm.gov, as well as a number of toll-free numbers to reach out to us. And then we try to really connect individuals with information about what is available in their very own communities that might not be well publicized, and then certainly to offer our services door to door when possible.
Now, Joseph, that sounds similar in a lot of ways to what AARP is doing on the ground.
Yes, similar. We do outreach work throughout the state as well. Primarily, we focus on our more populous communities, Albuquerque being one, Santa Fe, and Las Cruces. That is not to say that Carlsbad, Farmington, Las Vegas, Roswell, all those other places throughout the state are not important to our work. But, you know, we also can only do so much given the constraints of staffing. But what we do well is we offer virtual programming, whether it's around how to stay kind of socially connected through exercise, online classes, or just receiving some basic information around how to prevent yourself from frauds and scams. For family caregivers, we have caregiving resources. We partner with the New Mexico legal resource here in Albuquerque as well. And I would invite all of your listeners to just visit our website at aarp.org/NM for New Mexico. And you will get access to all the events that we have, whether they're in person or they're virtual. And for the virtual aspect, anyone across New Mexico can participate.
Debbie, what are the greatest needs for seniors in New Mexico?
Well, it varies, of course. We've touched upon the need for quality health care, access to such resources broadly. I would say that one of the things that we learn through listening to our callers, to the individuals we visit with, it varies. The social isolation piece is certainly real. And trying to engage folks to see what their options are, to maybe reimagine what this phase of life is, and the acknowledgement that there are a lot of us out there, our agency, our partners, that are dedicated to supporting them where they are. So it varies. And the fact is, we have a lot of resources. We have a lot of good answers to help address the needs.
We received a voice message from listener Elizabeth on our webpage. Here it is. Let's go ahead and hear from Elizabeth.
Hello. I am originally from Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we have multi-generational homes. They tend to be managed by nonprofits, especially church groups. And it's a really important option for folks who have children who need lifetime care that might extend beyond their own lifetimes. So these multi-generational homes serve great purposes. And I'd like to know if New Mexico has any. And if not, does that sound like a good idea for the state where I plan to retire? Thank you.
Debbie, do you know of anything like that in New Mexico?
You know, there are a lot of different models where you do see individuals with different ages. And I will say in some of our long-term care facilities, there are people of various ages. So that's one component that that is an option. Are there options to explore that model more in neighborhoods and in a variety of different settings? Absolutely. I could certainly get back with some more specifics. I love hearing ideas from other states where we can help each other.
Okay, well, Debbie, among the duties of aging and long-term services is working with residents who live in facilities. You kind of talked about that some earlier. How can people thrive while they're living in facilities rather than just surviving?
Certainly, and that obviously is the hope, that it is a really positive, respectful environment where there are a lot of activities offered. We see examples of that. So much of it starts with education and helping individuals understand not only their rights, but their opportunities, what they can ask for, that they have a voice. And this is where it's critical that we partner with those who come alongside us, largely as volunteers, to be the eyes and the ears and maybe bring a louder voice to facilities where there are requests for particular activities or feedback on things that are going well, and also feedback on things that can be better and should be addressed. So a lot of it is individual-based and choice-based, and we do our very best to advocate for those options.
Carrie, I wonder if you have students joining classes remotely from residential facilities.
That's a great question. We have had folks who have chosen to move into what they call CCRCs, which is continuing care retirement facilities that have independent living, assisted living, memory care, and so on, maybe because one spouse needed care and the other partner was there, and had such a great growth mindset about the benefits of being involved in a facility that has those resources available, how much easier it can make life. So yeah, we're very big fans, and I love the intergenerational living components that, you know, 40% of kids now under age 30 are still living at home with their parents. So we're seeing a return to intergenerational living in the coming decades.
Okay. And Joseph, I think maybe you have something you'd like to add on different sorts of living arrangements.
Yeah, thank you, Kaveh. So before we get off the subject of a multi-generational homes, and to Elizabeth, the listener from Wisconsin, I know that New Mexico has, I think Santa Fe has explored this at some level, but what I can speak to is accessory dwelling units that at the local level are policies that are passed. So for example, the city of Albuquerque passed the accessory dwelling units for casitas, and an accessory dwelling unit is a detached living space that can provide privacy and separation while still allowing families to stay close. So for example, if I am part of that sandwich generation where I'm raising my children and now caring for my elderly parent or grandparent or brother, sister, et cetera, I can build, and if I have the space, right, there are some rules that come with that, I can build a casita in the backside of my home and have that access, right? Because what we want for older adults is for them to age in place. And the last thing we want to do is uproot them from what they know most and are most comfortable with. And that's the family and the community that they were raised in and where they raised us, right? So we want to kind of be there for them. And I think we do a very good job in New Mexico being a majority minority state with nearly 50% of our population, Hispanic, Latino, and 11% American Indian, Alaskan Native. So that multi-generational is different from accessory dwelling units, but they fall within that same umbrella. But I think there's lots of work to be done in that housing space, right? To ensure we have affordability and accessibility for individuals as they age.
Okay, we have a caller, Barbara, on the line from Albuquerque. Barbara, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, my concern is that we need something like an ombudsman program for seniors who are living independently. Most of us are living like a one-bedroom apartment, and we single senior women and single men or senior men also are really getting hit hard by predatory landlords. Lots of rent raises and not providing proper repairs. We have very few legal resources. The ones we do have through the senior program are so overwhelmed right now that sometimes you have to wait weeks or even months for a call back. So we need some help. We need someone to advocate, help us sort through this, because the landlords have a great deal of power right now over everybody, but especially seniors. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Let's go to Debbie Gonzalez, the Director of Consumer and Elder Rights. It's a division at the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department. Debbie, is there something like that in place, someone Barbara can reach out to for help and people like her?
Well, Kaveh, thank you for that. And Barbara, thank you for airing that concern. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, and I want to help you. So we in our agency have a number of resources that I would love to connect you with. So let me please give you our 1-800 number to our Aging and Disability Resource Line. That is 1-800-432-2080. When you reach one of our options counselors, if you want to ask for me personally, this is Debbie Gonzalez, I'd like to personally shepherd this along because we have a number of resources that we can connect you with. We have senior law advocates. We have partners in our adult protective services team. We want to help you. So this is our primary purpose in advocating for the broader community wherever people live. So please do that. And I'm going to say that number one more time, 1-800-432-2080. Please call us.
Thank you, Debbie. And I think you told me that one of the big problems your agency faces is that people just don't know how many resources are out there and what's available and what kind of help is there. Joseph, yeah, are you agreeing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, oftentimes we triage our calls, and most of the times it's to the Aging and Long-Term Services Department because they're the hub of so much information and resources for older adults.
Okay, thank you. I see we have about 5 minutes left, and there is so much we can talk about, but there's something important I want to make sure that we fit in. Debbie, yesterday, the State Department of Justice filed charges against four caregivers for various abuses of older folks, some with developmental disabilities. They said that there were some physical altercations with residents being hit or manhandled, and also some yelling in people's faces and refusing to help with toileting. What kinds of safeguards are in place to try to prevent abuses like these?
Great question, Kaveh. I did see that writing, and it's always heartbreaking to read. Mm-hmm. I will say that we were very responsive and as soon as that came to our attention, and we handle all of these situations with a great sense of urgency. So we did a number of things. We employed our ombudsman team to visit the sites to gather some more information. And there are a lot of safeguards in place, including state and federal regulations. And that really emphasizes the importance of our work. What we do with our team, with our broader team of people who join us in volunteer capacity, because we need to have eyes and ears on the situations, because the key is prevention and to not getting to that point. But please rest assured that this has received the highest level of attention, and we are working diligently to learn more and to determine how we can help be part of a solution.
Now, that ombudsman team is the group specifically earlier you were calling for folks to come help out with, right? You need more volunteers.
Thank you, Kaveh. Absolutely. Not only because of the rural nature of our state, but also because we as individuals have a lot of power to really address the social engagement piece. So we love our volunteers. Our highly valued volunteers are marvelous. So when we have additional individuals, caring, compassionate people who join us, who complete our training, then we really are part of a broader solution that ultimately achieves a bigger goal, strengthening that fabric and that connectedness of our community. I think that's something that we all want.
Okay, and if listeners want to know more about this, can they call that Aging and Disability Resource Line?
They certainly can, and I will give you one more phone number and also our website. Our statewide toll-free number for our ombudsman program is 1-866-451-2901. And always visit us, please, at aging.nm.gov. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, we will try to get links and those phone numbers onto our website soon. What kinds of interventions can the ombudsmans do?
A number of things. So we try to bring folks together and develop solutions that are jointly amenable to everybody. It starts with education. It starts with conversation. It starts with follow-up, and it continues with regular visits. So those are some things. We also have other partner agencies because we are committed to upholding the law. Our focus is on protecting the individual rights and dignity of the individual. So we can employ a number of things as the situation warrants to make sure that that occurs.
Okay, we have about a minute left. Carrie, I want to know, what are one or two things that our listeners can do to help ease themselves into the transitions that come with aging?
That's such a great question. Well, I think just being aware that transitions are a normal part of life is a great way to start. And transitions often have stages where we may have different emotions that come if something has ended in our life, or we're kind of in this messy middle where we're not sure what's the new norm. And then those new beginning moments that come. So I find just recognizing that this is common. We may have lots of transitions in different areas, maybe a divorce or caregiving or moving or empty nesting are all happening, and having compassion that this is a process that might take longer than we think. On average, transitions can last 4 to 5 years.
Okay, well, this is the worst part of every Thursday morning when I have to say that we've reached the end of the hour. Thanks to everyone who called or emailed us. A big thank you to our guests, Carrie Cardinale, Debbie Gonzalez, and Joseph Roybal Sanchez. You can comment on the show by email at letstalk@kunm.org or find us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and now we're also on TikTok. Audio from today's show will be up on our website soon. You can also get the Let's Talk New Mexico podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll have two more shows before taking a break for the holidays, so please come back next Thursday morning. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Mia Casas was supposed to handle the phones today, but she got ill. We hope you're doing well, Mia. Thanks for filling in, Bryce Dix. Nash Jones produced the show with help from Megan Kamrick this week. I'm Kaveh Movahed for Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.